repeated disturbances are not acceptable at this meeting. And with that, I hand over to Stuart, who has come to share his experience, strength and hope with us. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Stuart, owner of Recovered Addict. You know, we are truly in exciting times. You know, this is, if you've stumbled across this room tonight and you're a newcomer, you have just walked into the beating heart of any 12-step movement for drug addicts probably in the world. You've probably come across one of the, you know, there's a guarantee in this room tonight that you can recover. If you've lived a life like me, blighted by drug abuse and chaos, then it can end tonight. Also, I'd like to say, if I run out the room in the middle of the share, I haven't gone mad. All that it means is my missus is about to give birth, so I just want to pre-warn everyone. So, if that happens as in now, I'll have to do one. But I'm sure everyone will be able to pick up from there. You know, I'm someone who, from very, you know, the book tells me to explain in basic terms, in a sort of open way, what we do here, you know, and what my life was like, what I've done, and what it's like today. I spent most of my life afraid, always thinking that, you know, I wasn't strong enough, I wasn't hard enough, I wasn't good looking enough, I wasn't funny enough. I didn't have enough friends, they weren't right, this weren't right, I wasn't right. In every situation I was in, that my life was blighted by that. I always felt very self-centred, to the point it would cripple me, to the point I'd be walking along the street and I'd hear someone laugh and I'd think, in my head, I'm walking funny. Then I'd start walking differently and I'd be burning up. Walking funny down the street, thinking that, and it was horrible. And it just so happens, you know, I was in a place where they were taking drugs, and I took them same drugs. And all of us, you know, for me, it rocketed me into a fourth dimension of existence. I felt totally different. I felt like, I, this is what this is about. This is what life's about now. I feel I can fit in the world. I'm ease and comfort. You know, this is good. I don't feel that fear. I've no longer got all them voices going on. This is brilliant. So I continue to do this. I continue to go on, you know, thinking that I'm having a great time, thinking it's all good, you know, fitting in, having a right old time, doing all the things I want to do. And then it starts to become more and more problematic. All of a sudden it starts to become pitiful, you know. My family don't want me around. People are crossing the street rather than talk to me. I've got umpteen convictions. I can't have an it anymore. I haven't got any veins left. I'm starting to, you know, I'm thinking on a day-to-day basis I've got serious blood-borne viruses. You know, I'm petrified daily now. You know, everything's going wrong. All I'm concerned about is using drugs. You know, it's not glamorous. It wasn't funny. It was horrific. Now I want to stop, but I don't know how to stop. I'll come to a, you know, where now I've come to the stage where I want to stop, but realise I can't. You know, I'm turning up in doctor's surgeries. I'm turning up in police stations and prisons. All the places I'll never set out to be. And I start going to meetings. I was fortunate enough to get myself clean. I was fortunate enough to go on a script and for about the fifth time, but this time I managed to get myself clean. Now I've been clean before, and it usually consists of feeling brand new. Brilliant, I'm clean, great, now I'm going to get a job, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to get some new clothes. You know, I'm going to get myself a girlfriend. You know, it's all going well. It's been 3 weeks now. You know, I can have a drink. You know, I'm normal, like normal people now. I can have a drink now. You know, all them people who are saying all that silly stuff about this 12 steps, you know, what's going on? I've got, you know, everything sweet. You know, in my life, that's reality. In my head, that's what's happening. It's all going to be all right. And off I go, and I use again, and you know, I do the thing that was never going to happen about 3 days later, you know, and then it spirals out of all control. Anyhow, I find myself in this fellowship wanting to stop. And after about 18 months of messing about, of going to meetings, of, you know, fortunately for me, I didn't die, you know, because I've seen many that have. after 18 months of going in and out of meetings and doing what I wanted and all the rest of it, I finally at step one. I'm finally at the point where I know no matter what I do, nothing's going to change. No matter what I do, I'm going to use drugs regardless of how many meetings I go to, regardless of how nice I am, regardless of how many people I hug, regardless of, you know, no matter what, just don't use, even if your ass falls off, get to a meeting and all that. Regardless of all that stuff, I'm going to use. It's really bad, and I know I'm going to, and I'm convinced that I cannot trust my own thinking. I'm afraid, like, for my life, that I'm going to do something really mental, kill myself. So I walk into this room. Now, I didn't want to walk into this room because I know these guys do what they say they do. You know, if you're in this room tonight, you'll be working the 12 steps if you want to get sponsorship with us. You know, we'll show you how to recover. If you don't want to do that, we've always said that there's a sign there with an exit on it. You know, if you want to go and look and window shop and sit around the back and talk about doing this and doing that, then this ain't the place for you. You know, if you come in here serious and you want to recover and you want a new way of life and you want to be rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence, then we're here on hand to help with any, you know, it says in the readings, we can help where no one else can, you know, and we truly can. I'm a man who can help where no one else can. You know, I'm someone who, anyhow, I walked into this room and beaten and scared and afraid and I asked someone to sponsor me, Andy. I said, Andy, will you sponsor me? He said, it'll be a pleasure. Are you prepared to do what I've done? And are you prepared to go to any lengths? I said, yes, I am. And there was a contract that was signed there. You know, he said that was his part was, are you prepared to do this? I'll show you what I've done if you're prepared to do it. So I started to do what he showed me to do. And very quickly, I start feeling some relief. I start feeling not going down this dark hole. I'm not feeling so depressed and anxious and afraid and serious. You know, if everyone who knows me in this room knows I'm not very serious. You know, when it comes to this stuff, I'm on it. You know, this is what makes me enjoy my life. This is the stuff. Without this, I've got no family. Without this, I've got no new clothes, no new job, no new car, no house, no nothing. You know, without this, I'm on my own. So, my sponsor, he starts mapping out for me what to do. The other guys in the meeting were examples to me of how to recover and what to do. And he showed me, he took me through the steps and he took me through the big book. And all of a sudden, like I said, I start feeling some release. I start feeling some freedom. And all of a sudden now I start sounding like him. And I remember being sat in a meeting and like having an out-of-body experience of, oh my God, I even sound like these fellas now. You know, but I wasn't just parroting it. I wasn't just copying what they were saying. I actually believed it. I had an experience. Their experience matched mine so much that it was, you know, basically you can listen to any one of us and we'll say the same thing. You know, you, in slightly different words, but it's exactly the same. You know, we suffer from the same illness and we recovered in the same way. And I'll continue to do this now for quite a number of years. And as a result of working the steps, I became a man with a responsibility to carry this message, a responsibility to be a living example of what this program can do. And I've been fortunate enough to do that for this group and in this group and with the guys around me. And you know, I sit here today amazed at the things that go on in my life. You know, I could not have foreseen any of it. I couldn't have foreseen where or when or how it was all going to happen, but it's just sort of panned out. And all I've done is follow my sponsor's guidance. All I've done was share honestly with him. All I did was... you know, I didn't sit around and play about my step four. I didn't sit around and couldn't be bothered to go to the service committee. I didn't sit around and turn up here late, you know. I got here. You know, my willingness was what did it. You know, I wasn't... I never needed to kick up the ass off my sponsor. You know, I hear so many people, and I've sponsored people, and they say, oh, I'm glad you're sponsoring me. You'll be able to give me a kick up the ass. And I was like, you need too much. I can't kick you up the ass. If you don't know, if you're not convinced of your own life, if you're not convinced of your experience of your own life, there's nothing I can say to you that's going to make any difference. You know, if you're convinced that left on your own devices, you're going to ruin your life again and use drugs, then welcome. We have a way out. If you're sat here thinking, I'm not interested in this fella, what's he on about, rocketing into the force? You know, see you later. Oh, you know, thanks for coming. Have a cup of tea and a couple of sandwiches. And we'll hopefully you won't die before you get the chance to appear back in here again. Because if you're turning up in these rooms, you're at the end of the line. You know, there's not much left other than death. You know what I mean? You know, it's time to get serious. It's time to take on board some certain principles. But unfortunately, it don't work like that. You know, we are insane to the point of, I've done it myself. I've walked in and, you know, I'll sit here and I'll go, yeah. But I won't do any of it when I go home. You know, I've done all that in my life, but it was because of the experience I had when I hit step one, where I knew deeply that I was screwed. That's what's allowed me to follow these people's guidance. That's what's allowed me to be obedient to spiritual principles. Because ultimately, that's all there is. You know, it's not about who sponsors you. It's not about what group you go to. It's not about how well you know the big book. It's about being obedient to the 12 spiritual principles that my sponsor led me through. And I've done it all this time, and it's got me this far. And I rely on it. I trust in it. And you know, I love it. I love it, and I'm truly excited to be here. I'm truly excited to be a member of this group and a member of this fellowship, and it's here for anyone who wants a way out. And thank you.
And now I'll hand you over to Eleanor to share her experience, strengthen up with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. My name's Eleanor. I'm a recovered addict. I've been sitting here convinced I can hear my heart beating, but it's great to sit here, you know, in a real privilege. And just under a year ago I came into this meeting, and it didn't seem like it could ever be a possibility. You know, I really had come to the end of the line. You know, I didn't turn up here because I had nothing better to do. I didn't turn up here because there was nothing on the TV. You know, I turned up because my back was absolutely against the wall. And I didn't use drugs for a long time. You know, I started when I was 17, and by the time I was 21, I was sort of in a lot of trouble. You know, I was going in and out of treatment centres. I've been to prison. No one kind of wanted to know, and it was, you know, it was a dark time. You know, and I got clean. I went into a treatment centre and came out, and I would go to meetings in Newcastle, where I'm from, and nobody told me how to recover. You know, nobody told me what to do to work the 12 steps, and I used again. And I can remember that feeling of being clean and thinking, this is awful. You know, I felt like the world was going to end, you know. And I had nothing to do but use again. And started all over again, you know. And I find myself in Plymouth, and you know, I came to a meeting of DAA, and I'd just come out of a treatment centre, yet another treatment centre. My dad had paid for another detox. I'm phoning him crying, saying, you know, I need another detox. And so he's paid for another detox. And while I was in this detox, this woman kept coming into my mind, who came to this meeting, you know. And I knew that she'd recovered using the 12 steps of DAA. And she kept coming into my mind. And, you know, I texted her the day that I got out, and that woman became my sponsor. And, you know, and then I cracked on with the work. I came here, and I was quickly taken through the steps. And when I came here, everybody seemed like a celebrity. I just felt so awful, you know, that I couldn't speak to people, you know, and that painful sort of self-centeredness that I'd felt, you know, as a teenager. It was there, you know. I spent my teenage years completely shut down from everyone. You know, I could not speak to people, and that eventually led to me using drugs. I came to this meeting, and I was asked to do the things that my sponsor had asked me to do. You know, I was asked to pray, to phone to new people, you know. And I did these things, and very quickly my life turned around. You know, very quickly the obsession to use had left me. Very quickly I was able to look people in the face. Very quickly I was able to feel at one again. I was able not to have the mad obsession that had been on me constantly for years, to go and use and use and just go to the bitter end, you know. And I'm the kind of person that if you're like me, you know, I won't care. Without the 12 steps, I don't care what's going to happen. I've just got to get the next fix. You know, I don't care whether my boyfriend's going to leave me, whether I'm going to lose my job, whether I'm going to lose my home. I've got to have it at all costs, you know. And it led me to some really grave places. But since coming into this meeting and since getting my sponsor and working the 12 steps, you know, I don't think about drugs. They are not a problem, you know. In my working life, you know, I am trusted with a big bunch of keys to cupboards full of drugs, and it's not a problem, you know. I don't sort of think, oh my god, I'm gonna, you know, because I've had a step one experience, I can go on and be the person that I'm supposed to be, you know. And I do the things that I've wanted to do, you know. And for that to work, you know, I have to do certain things, you know. I have to put other people before myself. I have to not think that what is good for me is the right thing, you know. I was talking to somebody the other day about self will and where self will had got. Well, we were talking about where self will had got me, and I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking it got me into just some awful places, you know. Getting my own way just led me to complete despair, you know. And today I've worked through the 12 steps and I've had a spiritual experience, you know. I really did feel that before I was halfway through. There's a line in the book that says that if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. And, you know, and that's sort of what happened, you know. I read out my step four, I did my step five, I felt completely, you know, this felt energised, you know. I felt positive, and I felt that I wanted to pass this on to other people, you know, that you can recover, that you don't have to live in that way that you lived, you know. You don't have to use drugs, you don't have to take it to the bitter ends and die, you know. And I'm not here to convince anybody, you know. If you're here, chances are, you know, your life is probably convinced you. And all I can share is my experience. That is, I couldn't stop using drugs, you know, and I would get periods of clean time, and it would always be relative. I could get clean, you know, but I could never stay clean. And I had to be shown by a good sponsor and a strong home group how to recover, you know. And that is why I came to this meeting, because I knew it was a strong home group, you know. And I absolutely love this home group. I think it's the best home group in the world. You know, and since I've come here, I do not obsess about using drugs, you know. I can pass on this message to somebody else. If you're at that place, you know, if you've come in here tonight and you're sick of your life, how it is, you know, I can tell you that if you get a sponsor and work the steps, you know, and have an experience with God, that you don't have to go back to how it was, you know. And that just didn't seem possible for me. I never envisioned my life to be clean, to be happy, to be able to sort of like get up without using something and go out and do life, you know. I never ever thought that was possible, because I hadn't known it, you know. And I used to see my sisters and you know, like people around me, like getting on with life, and I just used to think, how do they do it? It just seemed completely impossible. You know, and I have a life today that is it's very different from how I ever thought it would be, you know. And that's not to say that I don't have frustrations and I don't have, you know, times that are difficult. But what I've been given is a way to deal with those times, you know. Nothing is too difficult anymore, you know, that I can't cope. Nothing that comes my way can, you know, throw me off course. I have very strong principles that have been shown to me in this meeting. And you know, when times are hard, I stick to the basics, you know. And I remain grateful for what is rather than what isn't, you know. Because if I'm starting to think, oh well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that, you know, that's when I start to feel that uneasiness, the sort of malady, and I'm reaching out for stuff, you know. And getting clean and working a program isn't about getting loads of stuff. It's not about getting cars, clothes, money, a fella and all that sort of stuff, you know. And I learnt that the hard way, you know. I got clean for 2 years and I believe in that I had a drug problem, you know. And yes, I did have a drug problem, but the problem is far more deep-rooted than that, you know. The problem that is that me, left to my own devices, will completely pull the roof in on my life once again, you know. And the drugs are taken away, and I will do that clean, you know. And what can I say, you know, I'm absolutely privilege that I've come to this meeting, and you know, I don't have to do that stuff anymore. I don't have to live the way I was, and I don't have that fear and that uneasiness that you know, that we know is a spiritual malady, because I used to just I just used to want to have a fight with everyone. That's how it was. I just used to want to have a fight with everyone. You know, I'd be outside people's houses shouting at them, and that doesn't happen anymore. You know, I live a very, very peaceful life, and you know, times are good times lay ahead. You know, the best years of our existence lie ahead. That's what the book tells us. You know, I feel excited about the future. I feel that you know, that I want to pass this message on to anybody who has come here tonight, that, you know, you do not have to live the way you've been living. You know, if you get a sponsor, you work the steps, have a spiritual experience, you know, you'll never have to go back to the way you were, you know, and I'll leave it there.
And now I'll hand you over to Julia, who's come to share his experience, strength and hope with us. Thank you.
I'm Julian, I'm an addict. Thanks very much. I've been saying that now for 25 years. It's remarkable, but if you take nothing else from my share tonight, I hope you take this. 25 years I've been in the rooms, 15 years I've been in recovery, and for me that's the essence of any message that I have to pass you, that my life didn't change when I found meetings. It didn't change one iota. In fact, it got worse. It got much worse. In 1985, I turned up in a darkened room with about five or six people in it, I can remember, all of them shaking in unison. And what you have to understand about me, I think, it's very important to understand that by nature, I don't give a monkeys about your life. By nature, I am not interested in your story. And by nature, I don't feel sorry for you. And I have no empathy for you. That is my nature. And I'm afraid that was the guy who walked into that room. And it was it went on like that for 8 years. I would hear a low mumble until it was time for me to say something. And when I said something, invariably I echoed the unhappiness, the discontent, and the haunted nature of the people I met in the rooms. They're very haunted by the past that I noticed. Of course, I noticed they were. I didn't notice I was. That's also my nature. That's also my nature. And they assured me as I left, with hugs and shakes of hands and things like that, they assured me that if I hadn't understood, that I would understand if I went into a treatment centre. And they would teach me what it was all about. And and I did. I had a certain amount of willingness. You know, I did. I went into one of these glorious institutions that we can't stop seem to hear about. And I was told that perhaps I needed to cry. And I was told that I needed to talk about myself. And I was encouraged, because these were things I was incredibly good at. I would cry at the drop of a small hat. And, after a number of weeks, it was suggested that I might like to stop now. and it also, my next favourite thing was talking about myself. And, this is great. My life can change, and all I've got to do is what I've been doing always. and, of course, needless to say, most of the people in this room will realise that then none of that worked for me. I came back out onto the street, and what I realise today, it's difficult for me to talk about the past without talking from the perspective that I occupy today. And I realise today that because I was exactly like Stuart, I was frightened, lonely and self-obsessed most of my life. And because of that fear, because I feared you all so much, I developed a shell. A shell around myself, and very much identified with Bill W. when he said that he spent those years of his drinking forging a weapon that would one day turn in its flight and all but cut into ribbons. This egocentric shell that I wove around myself to keep you out, to frighten you, to keep you at a distance, to intimidate you, to make you think that I was better than you, it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. I brought it into the rooms. I went, took it into a treatment centre. I left a treatment centre with it fully intact. And I know that I was defeated a number of times in my life, a number of times. But the problem was I had nowhere to take it. And I also know from my own experience, I try to stick to that, that being defeated needs action. There were a number of times when I was brought to my knees. there were a number of times when I was ready to listen. I, in fact, believe it or not, listened as much as I could to counsellors, listened as much as I could to doctors, and I listened as much as I could to friends and relatives. But nothing stuck. Nothing stuck. Nothing seemed right for me. I didn't identify with the people that were talking to me, largely, and always in the back of my mind was, well, yes, this is all very well, but you don't realise, you don't understand, and to be honest, I was probably right. And the ego would come back, after these moments of defeat, always the ego would come back, and I would be alone again, and I would kick along that way, and I was so used to it, you see. One of the things, again, that is so important for me to remember is that my tolerance for pain is outrageous. I can put up with it, I can live with it, I can normalise it. And as I'm doing it, things get steadily worse and worse and worse. But one day, as it says in the basic text, I turned up at a 12-step meeting and hopelessness was writ large on my face. And the people that I met, they recognised that hopelessness. And I, for the first time in my life, I found identification. And I realised today I wasn't identifying with any of the things I thought I would identify with. For a kickoff, they didn't tell me much about their past. What I was identifying with was their defeat. I was now in a room full of defeated people. And this was what I shared with them. They had all reached this profound moment in their lives when they'd been defeated at death. And they'd been ready to embark on a drastic course of action. And they were very upfront about this. They didn't try to wrap this up. It was a drastic course of action they were offering me. I needed to change altogether. Altogether. And they were offering me a spiritual solution. A spiritual solution. Which, as has just been said, had nothing to do with anything external at all. It was something that was to change inside me. And for the first time in my life, what they were saying started to make sense, and I went home, and I started to do the things that that it was suggested that I do. And from that point on, what's inside, what goes on inside me, and what you hear on the outside have been unified. If I talk about praying tonight, I will pray. I shall go home and pray. If I talk about a spiritual solution, it's a spiritual solution that I try to work in my private life. So the outer skin and the inner skin have come together in working in DAA. One of the things that frightened me, I suppose, is that the people here had all accepted an enormous amount of responsibility for each other. And being on the outside of everything all my life, and having gotten used to that, that scared me. I didn't really want to. I wanted to come in and come out as I chose. And as much as I found the people here admirable, I also wanted to run away and hide a lot of the time. But they assured me that if I failed to become involved, if I failed to rise to the challenge of the home group, that what they had, I wouldn't take home. And so I looked closely at what they were doing. They were doing service. And they were sponsoring. They were giving their time to others. And I still see today in page 69 of Alcoholics Anonymous, it tells me that I can get away with pretty much anything apart from selfish motives. Unfortunately, I can't reconcile anything in my life that involves selfish motives. That was the way I lived. I often like saying, you know, usually I meant well. Usually, most of my life I meant well. I certainly didn't set out to hurt anyone deliberately. I didn't. I didn't set out to alienate people, and I didn't set out to cause damage and mayhem, but those were the results. And if I read the basic text, it explains exactly why. Because I was trying to please myself. And it's a way of life that doesn't work for me. If it works for you out there, I do say good luck to you, much as Stuart. Actually, I have no problem with that. All I know is that if you identify with me, if you're like me, it won't work for you. I cannot play around with other people's lives for my own motives, for my own selfish reasons. I can't come to a home group for my own selfish reasons. I can't even do my job for my own selfish reasons. I have to find a way of being useful in the world and putting that usefulness at the front of my life. And if I fail to do that, I really have missed the point. But if you're sitting there thinking, he expects me to turn into some kind of saint, I can assure you that I've felt that too, and I've listened to others ahead of me too with that same thought in my mind. But they weren't asking me to do anything until I'd worked the steps. What I found is when I'd worked the steps, I became, or rather, I found myself in a place where these things became possible. for the first time in my life, it became possible to come to a meeting thinking, what can I do tonight for others? It became possible just by working through the steps. For the first time in my life, I sat down with others and I was able to listen to the things they were saying. All my life, I'd seen lips moving up and down, simply waiting for my turn. It can happen now if you go on too long, I can assure you. But I found myself listening. I found myself listening to others. I found myself wanting to see what I could bring. And these are the things I've taken out into the world, and it's remarkable, you know. How long have I got?
10 minutes.
Oh, dear God. It's remarkable, you know. I found that once upon a time, you won't believe this, but it's very true, once upon a time I was really quite popular in the fellowships of my choice. You know, good old Jules, they used to say, you know, poor old Jules, they used to say a lot. And, you know, in my misery and desperation, I was well liked, I was well loved. But my popularity has plummeted with my success in the external world. I find today that I have the qualities to mix with regular people. I have the qualities to mix with recovered addicts and regular people. I'm very, very bad, I'm afraid, at mixing with people who haven't yet made the decision to change. I haven't really got anything to say. And quite frankly, without a massive effort of will and imagination, I don't identify. Like I said earlier, I identify with defeated people. And that's why I identified when I got into the room, when I got into my first strong fellowship meeting. I loved it there because that's what I shared with them. We'd all been defeated and we sounded like defeated people, and that's what Stuart means. When I started to sound like my sponsor, I acquired the humility of a defeated man. I was sharing other people's message because that was the message that had worked for me. I wasn't sitting there trying to be original. I wasn't sitting there trying to be anything apart from doing the right thing. And these were all unique experiences for me. And I found it invigorating. I found my energy coming back. I even found a little ambition. And I was assured that that was all right. I was assured that that was okay. Again, as long as I wasn't allowing myself to slip back into selfish motives. And so far, I've survived. I've managed to do that thing. I've managed to avoid diving into another plan to make myself happy. You know, when I've been lucky enough to do some wonderful things. I've got a fantastic daughter. I've been married. I've got married in recovery, and I had to ask myself what that was about before I allowed myself to go into it. You know, I've often said to people that I've sponsored a relationship, and it's easy to say these things. It's so easy to say. A relationship is an opportunity to give. It's an opportunity to give. If I think, if I'm looking at someone and thinking I shall be happy if I have her, then I'm going to be very unhappy. And what's worse, really, for my benefit, is so will they. I can't survive making other people unhappy. I can't do it. It's just not going to work for me. If I'm going to be in other people's lives, I have to be a benefit in other people's lives. I can't stick my claws in and hitch a free ride anymore. And I found that that's what my marriage has been about. I've learned that it doesn't always matter that I get to watch what I want. I know. You'd think I'd have learnt that about 25 years ago, wouldn't you? It doesn't always matter what I want. I'm happy when I've made a constructive contribution to somebody else's life. That's what actually makes me feel good. Just as been hinted at already, I can cheer myself up with a new pair of trousers or a shirt for about a nanosecond. By the time the cash register's rung, I'm down again. I can cheer myself up by getting a nice smile from somebody in the street, you know, and thinking, you know, as long as they don't hand me an incontinence leaflet, which is what happened the last time. I know, I'm getting on. But these things don't last. Nothing external lasts. And I'm not speaking for humanity. This is not a great philosophy. I'm advocating for humanity. It's just about my condition. I have a condition which means anything that I'm looking, anything that I strive for, anything that I work for to improve my lot, to improve my life, has to be based in trying to make a positive contribution, first to my home group, then to the committees that my home group ran, then to the service beyond my home group that I was asked to do, and then, in time, when I was ready to move out into the world, and it took a little while. It's about a year, I think, before I started to embark on things in, outside the home group. When I was ready, again, I had to take all those principles out with me. You know, if I'd put it all on hold, if I'd thrown it all in the back seat and decided, right, now, what do I want? What do I want? I know I would have ended up in exactly the same place that so many of my comrades have ended up in over the years, sliding back to exactly the place they started. And if you'd ever sat in a meeting and thought to yourself, these people don't like me, they're laughing at me, nobody in this room really knows me, nobody likes me, and walked home haunted by those thoughts, then you're like me. Then you're like me. But I can assure you, you're not like the majority of humanity who simply are not plagued with these insecurities. This is what I've come to see. I had no way of knowing it wasn't a universal experience when I got here. But I see today it isn't. It's precisely what, it's not using drugs, it's precisely what categorises me as an addict. This perspective, my sponsor tells me it's all about perspective, and it has been. The perspective I walked in with was lethal. It was lethal, and I could turn on a knife edge. I could turn on a knife edge. I could be fine 1 minute, fine 1 minute, something very, very small, very, very trivial, and I'm back there. I'm back into that place where no one knows me, no one likes me, no one trusts me, and what's more, I don't care. I don't care. And unless I find a way to leave that perspective behind and replace it with something fundamentally different, and this is why we call, you know, we say drastic, you know. If there's one thing people will usually say, you can't change, and one thing the professionals will always hold their hands up in despair over, it's my nature. It's my nature. To change my nature is it's a tall order, and one that I would suggest that most people historically have failed in the attempt. Most people have failed in the attempt. But I didn't do anything. I just did as I was told. The great mantra of Into Action. I just did as I was told. You don't actually hear it in the basic text very much. Because I think, to be honest, a lot of the time the old boys assumed that it was logical that they would. But we live in different times. We live in very different times. And nobody seems to assume it's logical to do as one's told anymore. So to us, it becomes the great, you know, the great, the big deal. The big deal. We have to listen to someone else. But, you know, the minute I did, I was immediately overtaken. And again, I'm paraphrasing, I'm quoting. I was immediately overtaken by the strange sensation that my problem was already solved. Everything else has just been about consolidating this profound defeat. Once I found myself in a place where I was ready to take somebody else seriously and move with them a step at a time, only when they were ready to have me move on. And if they said jump, I jumped. And if they said those words that I'd come to dread in the early years, it was a sharp intake of breath and wouldn't work for me. I understood it wouldn't work for me either. It wouldn't work for me either. There's no good me turning around and saying, yeah, but my circumstances are different. He wasn't talking about my circumstances. He was talking about my nature, which he shared with me. My nature means that some things simply won't work for me. And I have to do things a very particular way. And I learned that from him. I learned that from him. And I've always kept it desperately simple. I haven't read any extra books, apart from the ones that were prescribed in the first place. I haven't come up with any other techniques. I haven't added to this. I often sort of think, you know, if when they found a cure for leprosy, it must have been a wonderful day. One of the things the lepers didn't say is, well, yeah, that's great, but I've got a better idea. You know, they didn't do it, you know, because it isn't in their nature. You know, they are not plagued with the same condition I've got, where I will try to find a way out of the solution. I'll try to find a way out of anything that works, because I don't want to make the effort. I simply don't want to make the effort. So I'll find another, easier, softer option. And there is always one. There's, for any one person, you are going to give me this thing, aren't you? Yeah, okay. For any one person who's offering a simple solution, there'll be five people in the background waiting to say, don't worry, don't worry, I'm perfectly all right and I don't do anything they say. How do I know that they're out there? Because I was one of them. I was one of them until I was battered around so profoundly that I was prepared to shut my mouth and do exactly as I was told, as I said before, exactly. And I can't take credit for it. I can't take credit for it. I was lucky that I found myself in that position. And I can't take credit for anything I've done since I've been here, because I've done it purely and paradoxically because I want to stay clean. I sponsor because I want to stay clean. I do service over there, you know, it's my service. I do my little table over there when I get here on Saturday night. I put my stuff out. I do it because I want to stay clean, essentially. If I think I do it because, you know, I'm especially invaluable to the group, then I'm misguided. You know, if I think I sponsor because I'm a philanthropic type and I care deeply for others, I'm misguided. I'm misguided. I do it because I want to stay clean. And I'm sitting here now talking to you in this way because I want to stay clean, because I want to keep the things that I've found. And it's all been through following somebody else's suggestions. And it'll continue to be by following somebody else's suggestions. And I'll finish on this because he's really good at shutting me up. See, I've got a memory like another. I'll finish on this. But nothing my sponsor has ever told me to do has ever been hard work. Ever been hard work once I stop thinking about it. I need to stop thinking and just do. And then comes the joy. Then comes the joy, then comes the feeling that I am part of something bigger than me. And being part of something bigger than me was the only way I was ever going to come to hear someone greater than me. And thanks very much.
Can I ask that Sharon being confined to add it? And may I draw your attention to Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion.